Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, this is our last session together for those of you who, the 14, who've gone through the weekend. Some of you are homegrown, so it's not like I won't see you again next week and in the weeks to come. But we're very grateful that you said yes to the Lord about coming through the weekend. And my friends back there from Paris or France, stand up and introduce yourself to all these people. Yeah. Amen. These are friends who are missionaries to France. And are you in Paris now, or So they were here this weekend. Normally they would share, but we, because this is our last thing of this, we knew we were trying to cram a bunch of stuff in. So thank you for being understanding. We love you guys very much. Ah, bless you. Again, I said this yesterday. I just want to thank all the folks who did all the work you did to make this happen, with the worship team, all the extra time you put in, and for Andrew and all those who helped in the kitchen, for all the intercessors and Edith and all who helped Edith, and all who just served in general, and for Karen, for all the work that Karen does, and thank you, God bless you, and whatever God's done this weekend, it's fruit under your labor. That's what Paul told the Philippians, so it has eternal value, fruit that remains. What I wanted to do today is normally I do what I did up in the Sunday school. But I wanted to do something a little bit different today. That's when we added that extra little session, just sort of the who-to section. I hate to use the word how-to because it sounds like Christianity is a formula, but the who-to session. But today I want to talk a little bit about your assignment. This particular time I want to end with talking about your assignment. Your identity and my identity is our union in Christ, is the fact that we're people in Christ. Our calling is to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to be conformed to the image of Jesus. Paul prayed for the Galatians in Galatians 4:19. He prayed that Christ would be formed in them. We've talked about this a little bit lately. That word literally is the Greek word morph. That on the inside they would morph into Christ-likeness. They would become more and more like Christ. And so your calling is to love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to be conformed, to experience and release the reality of your union with Christ, His very likeness, His life. But our assignment is to take the fullness of Christ and to manifest that out into the sea of broken and fallen people, bringing heaven to earth everywhere we go, and to every person we stop for. In simple ways and in extravagant ways. I was thinking about, I'll tell you a fun story. On Wednesday nights, usually, no miracles were involved, but it was a blessing. Important one to us. When I go through drive-through windows, if I have the opportunity, I want to talk to them a little about the Lord or ask if there's something I can pray for him about or whatever. So Taco Bell's what we do most Wednesday nights. I go buy Taco Bell after church to get Livia something to eat. Of course, I can't eat Taco Bell, but I can go get it and smell it and then go deposit her with her. And so whatever we get with Taco Bell, because everything tastes the same at Taco Bell, it's just shaped different. And sometimes it's crunchier, but it's all the same stuff, right? And then you put the same stuff on top of it, so it's mild taco sauce. So I want extra mild taco sauce. So I go through, pay the deal, go up to the window, and there's this lady. And I liked her smile, and so I said, can I get extra mild taco sauce? And sometimes they give you extra, like one. So I said, you got an awesome smile. I said, you really must love Jesus. She said, man, she went, I do love Jesus. With all my heart. And she went, pow, man, she put about 50 things of mild taco sauce. I said, favor, favor, favor. When you walk in your assignment, God gives you favor. It's funny, that's one of the stories that I remember. Matthew chapter 16. Remember the fact that you are the body of Christ. You're the carriers of the life of Jesus. We're called to infect the world with the life of Jesus. Christ Himself is the only one who can live the Christian life. Almost 300 times in the New Testament, the term in Christ is referenced in some way. That's who you are. Paul said that he was a man in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2. That should be your growing, renewing your mind. Part of what happens in the renewal of your mind, you can tell your mind's being renewed, is because you grow with a continual self-consciousness and self-awareness that you're a man or woman in Christ. That's who you are. And you're called to experience Him and to manifest Him and to carry that manifestation in the world. That part is our assignment. They'll only meet Jesus through you. You know, I've shared this with you before that my spiritual father, I used to say this. He used to say when he'd go to bed at night, I go to bed every night with the hilarious anticipation of what Christ is going to do tomorrow. And actually to wake up and find out what He's already done. Because we step into every situation anticipating a God-given victory that's already happened in the Spirit, from heaven's perspective, we just have to walk into it in faith. But he said, I wake up every morning and I say, Lord, thank you so much that these are your eyes to see with, these are your ears to hear with, these are your lips to speak with, these are your feet to walk with, these are your hands to work with, this is your heart to love with, this is your mind to think with. Have a nice day. And we become, literally, to the world, the body of Christ. And we carry the life of Christ. And every time we go and manifest the life of Christ, by walking out our union with Christ in the real world, with our eyes lifted up for harvest, we bring heaven to earth every place. If you remember the story in John chapter 4 with the woman at the well, there were miracles that happened there, but they weren't physical miracles. Jesus sat with this woman. Means what? Basically, in their day, Jesus only did those things He saw the Father doing. He only said those things He heard the Father saying. As the Father sent me, Jesus said, so send I you. So it doesn't mean that you like sit around and go, you know, what are you saying? I mean, there'll be times where He'll interrupt and show you something real particular, but just do what's next. But Jesus did the unusual when He left. All of His disciples, all the followers with His disciples decided to go to Jerusalem through Samaria, which the Jews didn't do. And He goes through there. And basically, Jesus goes to the local 7-Eleven because He's thirsty to see if He can get a caffeine-free diet Dr. Pepper. Because that's what people drink when they're thirsty. I know that because some of you drank mine this weekend. And my diet, Grapico. But He went to the well to get some water. But of course, He was in the Father and the Father was in Him. Just like I'm in Christ and Christ is in me. And He goes to the local 7-Eleven, the well. And He gets water in the middle of the day. And there's a woman there getting water at the middle of the day. Because an unusual thing, because nobody did that in the middle of the day because it was too hot. Like 115. They all went when the sun was coming up or the sun was going down. But she had stopped doing that long before because she was been married 5 times and she was living with a man in a very religious culture. I'm sure she got tired of all the shame and all the guilt. She was dealing with enough of that on her own without the help of all the brothers and sisters. And so Jesus has this conversation with her and He talks about living water and He tells her to go get her husband. She says she doesn't have one. He says, you're right, you don't. So what did Jesus do? He moved in the prophetic words of knowledge. He said, no, you know, as a matter of fact, you've had 5, and the one you live with now is not your husband. He revealed the secrets of her heart, not with condemnation. And the result was her heart was harvested for God. She became a true worshiper and was the instrument for revival for the whole entire region of Sychar. Because Christ, being available to the Father, it says in John 14 here, remember, Jesus says, the Father who does the works in me. In Acts chapter 2:22, it says, God performed signs and wonders through Him in our midst. He was God, very God, never anything less than God. But He lived on earth as the author and the perfecter of faith. As a Spirit-filled man to show us how to live. He didn't just come to die for us. He came to live for us. And his assignment was to do what? No man has seen God at any time, but Jesus has revealed him. And he went everywhere he went, announcing the kingdom of God and then demonstrated it, bringing heaven to earth. We have the same assignment. Just as he was in the Father, and the Father was in him by the Holy Spirit, we're in Christ, and Christ is in us by the Holy Spirit. And again, as the Father sent him, Jesus said, so send he us. I read this to all of you the other day, but let me just reiterate this amazing little verse. This is the second volume of the something that Luke wrote. The first volume was the Gospel of Luke to a man named Theophilus. Volume 2 starts off like this. The first account I composed, Theophilus. The first account was the Gospel of Luke, which revealed the life and the message and the ministry and the death and resurrection of Jesus. The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach. You mean the end of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, wasn't the end of Jesus was doing and teaching? No. We're the continuation of all that Jesus continues to do and teach. He just has a new body through which he does it. And his assignment hasn't changed. And we should expect Jesus to behave by us and through us the same way he's always behaved. The things that we see Christ doing in Scripture, we see manifest and repeated in the Gospel, in the book of Acts. But of course, Jesus told them, what? The things that I do, you'll do even greater things. We don't need to dummy that down to make ourselves feel comfortable. As a matter of fact, we need to get pumped about that and go, oh my goodness. We don't just need to be fascinated by the life that Jesus lived or the life the apostles lived. But we need to be drawn into, mesmerized, that God has called us to be the body through which Christ continues to do and teach. And he does it as we go. So here we get to sit, and we get to stand, and we get to raise our hands, and we get fed, but then we get to go into all the world, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit, manifesting the fullness of Christ everywhere we go, and bringing heaven to earth. And it says in Matthew chapter 16, it's a really familiar scripture, they're discussing among themselves who Jesus is. And Peter says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. You're this pebble, and upon this boulder I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I give you for the keys of the kingdom of heaven, that whatever you shall bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. This is Isaiah 22, speaking about the household of David. And there was a transference of the one that was in charge of the household of David. It says in verse 20, then it will come about in that day, chapter 22, verse 20, that I will summon my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and I will clothe him with your tunic. He's transferring authority, giving him governorship over the household. And tie your sash to curl you around him, and I will entrust him with your authority. And he will become a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. And then I will set the key of the house of David on his shoulder. And when he opens, no one will shut. And when he shuts, no one will open. So the point being is that when you have a key, and Jesus said to us that I've given you the keys to the kingdom, when you have keys, you have access. And because we're in Christ, we do have access, don't we? We don't live looking toward heaven, we live looking from heaven. We've been seated in the heavenly places in Christ. I don't pray from earth into heaven that God would somehow come down and invade. I pray from heaven into earth. Entering into rest is seeing things from Jesus' perspective. And remember what it says about Jesus, that Jesus said to the Jews, he said, you're from below, but I'm from above. I'm on the earth, but I'm not of the earth. And he said the same thing about us. And then John chapter 3, verse 3, we looked at it. When it says born again, it literally means you've been born from above. We were born into a place where we're seated in the heavenly places in Christ. And in union with Him, we see things from His perspective. Again, that's why Galatians 2 says we live by the faith of the Son of God. Entering into His rest is to see things from His perspective. And it says in John 3:31, that He who comes from above is above all. But he who is of the earth speaks of the things of the earth. But he who comes from heaven is above all. If you're not under something, but you're above something, and I mean that pressure-wise, circumstantially-wise, then you're in rest. And not in panic and fear and anxiety. And you carry authority. To enter into His rest, not just rest, but enter into His rest, is to see things as He sees things, out of union with Him. To be in agreement with the mind of Christ, which you have because you're in Christ. Like again, Craig says, as the renewing of your mind is simply discovering the mind of Christ and coming in to agree with it because you have the mind of Christ. He says it in Scripture. And so entering into His rest is to see situations, circumstances, people, opportunities from His perspective. And then going at it, resting in the faith of Christ. And you've been given keys. So because you have keys, you have access in union with Christ to know what He's up to, what He's doing. It's not real complicated. It's just that little still small voice every once in a while. I know people love to say, well, I heard the audible voice of God. Well, God's never spoken to me when it wasn't audible. But I mean, if you mean out loud so everybody else could hear it. God's an audible God, but there's that thing. You just do what's next, unless all of a sudden there's this thing that goes, no, I mean, you like, just be who you are in Christ, knowing that your assignment is to bring heaven to earth. And so you just, in that chapter 4 of John, when the disciples came back, found Him talking to a Samaritan woman, they were offended. There's one, He's talking to a woman. Two, she's a Samaritan woman. And Jesus said to them, lift up your eyes. There's a harvest. He said, all you saw was a Samaritan woman. What I saw was harvest. There's harvest everywhere, but you've got to lift up your eyes. See through His perspective. The lady behind the counter at Taco Bell was a harvest. Now, what did that do for her, for me to say that to her? I don't know, but that's His business. I didn't have a chance to say anything else. But I have keys that gives me access, but also means that I control the access that others have. That's so important for us to understand that. I control the access that others have. I have authority. He said, what you bind on earth, here's the language, I think all of you know this by now, what you bind on earth has already been bound in heaven. And what you loose on earth has already been loose in heaven. When did it happen? At the cross. The enemy was defeated at the cross. Sin was conquered at the cross. Sin was paid for 2,000 years ago. The victory was won 2,000 years ago. And you and I, as an army of people who carry the life of Christ, we move from the shadow of the cross, from a victory already won, and invade human tragedy and bring the healing power of Jesus. Whether the healing power is manifested in leading somebody to Christ, which is the greatest miracle of all, or giving them a prophetic word that reveals the secrets of their hearts like Jesus did in John 4. I mean, or praying for the sick and they be healed. Bonnie was telling me about the situation that happened last night where she just remembered she was in Christ and God did this neat little thing. But you have access and you control access. We're the plan. We're the body. There's not another one. And you see, you should go out expecting Jesus to do what Jesus does. See, we were learning this weekend that for every situation, every circumstance in my personal life, you know, as I'm walking into a thing or something rises up in me, I can stop and say, yes to your victory, Lord Jesus. Thanks. Yes to your peace. Thanks. Yes to your joy. Thanks. Yes to your love for this person. Thanks. Yes for your ability to forgive. Thanks. And we release that. But what about out there? Those are miracles. Victory over the power of sin is a miracle. Every time you experience victory over the power of sin rising up in you, it's a miracle. Your life is miraculous. Your internal life, if you're experiencing the victory of Christ, is an eternal sign and wonder. But we should, when we leave these doors, we should expect the miraculous. You say, so you mean to tell me that everything that we're supposed to do is supposed to cause the hair to stand back on the back of your head? No. Sometimes it comes in simple acts of service, right? But I believe that He does the miraculous all the time. Even the miraculous is telling somebody who we don't know the thoughts of their heart, who've hated themselves all their life. Yet we do one little act of service, manifested in the love of Christ, can be transformational. It may just be the 15th step to the 20th step that's going to finally bring them to Christ. But that 15th step is important. How are we doing? This is we read this a couple weeks ago at a noon service. This is speaking about the king of Assyria, but here it's a type of Satan, just like some places in Isaiah 14, others speaks of kings, but they're really a type of Satan. And he says to him, "Your shepherds are sleeping, O king of Assyria. Your nobles are lying down. Your people are scattered on the mountains," speaking about the demonic. "There is no one to regather them. There is no relief for your breakdown. Your wound is incurable." Remember what Jesus came to do? To destroy the works of the devil. Remember the word that God gave in Genesis? It said, the seed of the woman will bruise your head. You will bruise his heel, but he's going to deliver a wound that is incurable. "There is no relief for your breakdown, Satan. Your wound is incurable, and all who hear about you will clap their hands over you, for on whom has not your evil passed continually?" 1 John chapter 5, 19 says, "The whole world lies under the power of the evil one, on whom has not his evil passed continually? But all who hear about your breakdown, about your incurable wound, will clap their hands." How are they going to hear if we don't tell? How are they going to know if we don't tell them? If we don't demonstrate the fact, if we aren't going forth demonstrating and manifesting the kingdom, every time we do, we've opened the door. We've used the keys. And we're simply going after something that Jesus has already bound up. Or releasing something Jesus has already loosed. You're not trying to make something happen. You're enforcing a victory already won. We're bearers of good news. What's the good news? He came to set you free from evil. What did Jesus do at the cross? What did He accomplish? What did He bind up at the cross? Again, let's not dummy this down. He defeated the enemy. So He's bound up the demonic torment that people suffer. He's loosed them. He says He bore our sin. We can go tell them that He paid for your sin. There's a new creation He accomplished 2,000 years ago waiting for you to say yes to. We're not just going to go tell them, pray this prayer so you're going to go to hell one day. That's a good thing. I don't want to go to hell. But there's even more, because what are you going to do between them? So many Christians are going to go to heaven but live like they're in hell on the way to heaven. Tormented, miserable, defeated lives. We can tell them, oh, by the way, if you make this decision, yes, your sins will be forgiven. You're going to go to heaven one day, but you're going to also be placed into the life of Christ and become a new self. It's going to be like you were born again. And you get a new shot at life, and a supernatural one. That's the good news. He bore my sin. Scripture says He bore my sorrow. Scripture says by His stripes we're healed. I'm not going to go out and try to get people healed. He did that. I'm going to go out in His name and say, in Jesus' name be healed. Releasing what He's already loosed. Binding up what He's already bound up. But if the keys, when to? We talked about this the other day. If this group, just this group, understand what I'm saying. If we all went forth expecting Jesus to act like Jesus and be willing to be inconvenienced because it's not your life, it's His life. He's come to tell His story through you. He's not going to live your story out or tell your story through you. I can tell you this for a fact because I did it for a number of years. My story was incredibly boring and very painful. Now, His story sometimes is painful, but it's never boring. But even when it's painful, there's always a redemptive purpose. But if just think about it, if this group, just this group, really understood and went on and got the mindset of invasion, and knowing that God is sovereignly ordering your steps, so whatever your zigzag world looks like, well, I got to go to Walmart today, I got to go this, I got to go to Burger King, I got to go there, then I got to this. And you just went lifting up your eyes, looking for an opportunity to give access to people to experience the reality of heaven. Listening and going for it. Asking the Lord to give you a word for this person. Lord, give me a word for this person. Take it out for a spin. Go, listen, I think I've got a word from the Lord for you. Is that okay? They go, no. Okay. Dust off your feet and go after the next one. Or, and I know some of you have been doing this, our kids have been doing this, you say, is there anything I can pray for you about? You know, I'm a Christian, I believe that Jesus heals, and can I pray for you about anything? And see what Christ would do. This is just one more verse, and we'll stop. We've been talking about this a lot lately for CTKers, but my heart's so burdened for this. This is Psalm 99. O Lord our God, You did answer them, talking about His people. You were a forgiving God to them and an avenger. And this says their evil deeds, but I thought that didn't. So I did a word study of this, and what it literally says is you're an avenger of their abuse. Not they are the abusers, but you're an avenger of the fact that they've been abused at the hands of their enemy. He has visited His people, He had accomplished, past tense, redemption for them, for His people. That's not even happened yet. But in the heavenlies, it's a reality already. Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world. And He raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David, His servant, as He spoke by the mouth of His holy prophets from of old, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. On whom His evil is not passed continually. Here's your assignment. For those of you who are 14, who've gone through, those of you who are stuck with me, who are part of this thing, we'll keep hearing this stuff, but here's your assignment. Don't just go home rejoicing in the fact that you've entered into a new place of rest internally and liberty. You now have the coolest assignment in the world. And that is to manifest the fullness of Christ and bring heaven to earth. One person at a time. Unless God puts a group in front of you. But it's going to involve you taking risks. But you're the one with access. They need to encounter the kingdom of heaven. And if you don't use the keys to give them access, who will? And when I was growing up in the Lord, I would always hear people talking about going out. It was always about just leading people to Christ. That's wonderful. But there's more to the kingdom than that. Jesus went about and he changed this woman at the well, her life. She obviously encountered forgiveness. But he also said he went about healing. He went about doing good, healing all those who are oppressed by the devil. That's your job. That hasn't changed. The assignment's the same. He just has a different body through which to fulfill the assignment. So, lift up your eyes. Look for the harvest. Don't get in the flesh. Don't worry about it. Don't strive. Don't try to make something happen. Just be available. And you'll know. The buzzer will go off. But not if you're not looking. You'll not, if you're not available. Remember that you're in Christ. It's His show. It's His story to tell. Be available. When the buzzer goes off, go for it. Well, what do I do when I go for it? Well, what do you think you should do? Go for that. Go for that. Well, ask God to show you. And then risk. And see people experience the kingdom of heaven. You have the keys. He put the keys in your pocket. So when you leave here, you carry the keys. Pray for the sick. People ask me, who do I pray for? Everything that moves, that looks sick, looks like they don't feel good. Pray for depression to be gone, brain chemistry to change, chronic anxiety to go away, sickness and disease to leave. That's not real complicated. Okay? That's part of what it means to share the gospel. Don't keep it to yourself. That's the good news, that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. You have the keys. Okay. Well, we're going to do something a little different for you. And the 14 that are going to go through, all of